Welcome back, fans of entrepreneurship and radio entrepreneurs, and thank our hosts at O'Brien & Levine Court Reporting Solutions. This is On the Record, and it will be all week. That means that Radio Entrepreneurs is featuring the best of Boston attorneys, and that means I have flanked to my right Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing to protect me and ask all those probing legal questions. Thanks, Mark.
Jeff, pleasure. I always have your back, and this is very exciting and rewarding.
Now, he doesn't expect me to give this introduction, but only because my executive producer, Ian Motha, has got a rock and roll band. He didn't even meet Ken, and before the day started, he's already a Ken groupie, because we're going to meet you. He is, Ken. He was showing me videos of you this morning.
Okay.
So we're meeting with Ken Demura of Demura Smith, and also, I guess, on the side, has a rock and roll band.
Well, I play. I wouldn't say that I have a rock and roll band, but I do try and get up on the stage every once in a while.
If we label your interview Ken Demura Rock and Roll, you'll get more hits that
way. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's go
You'll get more hits than if we say attorney.
Let's go.
Like, oh boy, attorney. You know, but rock and roll attorney. Let me say rock and roll attorney.
That makes you sexier.
Okay.
If we say rock and roll attorney, it's
I'll
amazing.
Go with it.
Yeah. So Ken, why don't you tell us about your practice?
Sure. Well, Demura Smith is a small Boston law firm with offices here and in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. We represent businesses, entrepreneurs, families, and institutions in mostly litigation, transactional work, real estate transactions, and estate planning and succession issues.
Excellent. So full service.
We're full service. We have 7 lawyers, one who is resident in our New Hampshire office, who does white-collar crime and criminal defense work. But the Boston office is primarily, I would say, 60% litigation and then transactional and real estate.
Do you find you have a competitive advantage having what I would call a boutique-sized law firm?
I think we do. One of the other things that we have is a virtual office. We have an office downtown Boston, but by and large, our attorneys work out of their homes or other home or satellite offices out in the suburbs, and we're able to keep our overhead down and be able to provide clients with a lot more value at a more competitive hourly rate or fixed rate. We can be very flexible.
I've had that argument with too many attorneys over the years that there was a time, you know, I'd go into a law firm and they'd be lined with books and, you know, the ability to talk. And I say to them, you don't need the office anymore. And they're holding on to the past.
I think that's right. I tell clients when they ask me why we have a virtual office or primarily practice that way, and I tell them because I didn't think you would want to pay for my oriental rugs or the columns in the building at One International Place.
And you've practiced with some major firms before you had this boutique firm.
You've learned from experience.
Yes, right. I actually cut my teeth at one of Boston's biggest firms and practiced and learned how to be a trial lawyer there.
Right.
Unfortunately, that Bingham, Dana & Gould was the name of the firm when I was there, but it has now gone on to be taken out by another firm. But I've been at big firms. I've started my own firm twice, and then I've been at sort of mid-sized firms. So
you're now in my realm. You're an entrepreneur.
Yes, yeah. And I do enjoy that. I do enjoy that. And I think it helps me with my business clients who are either looking to start a business or having issues with their co-owners or partners in their business and trying to figure out a way to resolve those issues.
So we're going to touch upon another issue you don't think is going to come up, but lawyers tend to be a little bit slow at. Since you've gone virtual, technology must be a keystone of your business.
It is. We even before we started our firm, did quite a bit of research on, you know, how to do this technologically to make sure that our clients' information is secure, to make sure that all the attorneys had access at all times to their information and their clients' information, and also the ability to communicate with each other. Even though what I usually say is we're just a law firm with long hallways. Because, you know, I could be sitting in Peabody, Massachusetts, and one of my partners could be in Acton, but it feels like we're right next door.
Well, you know, the law firms we've consulted to at my firm, Mage, you know, you walk into the lobby, the lobby's pretty, and then you go back into the kitchen, and the law firm is usually a mess of work. I figure let the lawyers keep their mess at home.
Well, we do, but what we also are very, very vigilant about is when we talk about being digital, is trying to avoid creating those piles of papers and those big long file cabinets full of documents. We scan everything. We use databases very heavily to keep our case files on. They're all secure. They're all encrypted. But that also helps keep that from
overhead.
Looking very messy.
Right.
But you also, I mean, even though you are virtual, if your client needs to meet you, you'll meet them at a convenient place. And because obviously, in addition to costs coming down, it's important to have that personal touch. And I know that's something that you value too.
Yes, we do. And in fact, the place that we have in Boston, we have a conference room space there. The clients are meeting with one this afternoon, for example. But also we do travel. We'll go to visit the clients. In fact, I prefer to do it that way when I'm representing smaller businesses or companies. I'd like to see their operation. I'd like to see.
You practice the way I do.
Okay.
I got rid of my office this year after over 32 years of having an office. I've spent a lot of money on real estate that didn't build value. That's
right.
The way I look at it.
Yep.
And people say to me, what's it like not having an office? I go, I want to be with my client. I want to see where they're working. I want to see the problem. I don't want to just hear about it. So
yep.
I agree with you 100%.
I think our clients, and probably you see the same thing, the big concerns they have are security, obviously. It's everything that I'm giving you secure, but as importantly, accessibility.
Right.
Can I get you when I need you? And I think that would be true if I had a bricks and mortar space or not. But I think that that one of the sells or one of the benefits of using a smaller firm is you are going to get the person you hired. You're not going to get an associate. And because we're virtual, you get my cell phone number right up front, and you have 24/7 access to me.
Excellent. Now that's so important. It sounds like you keep that balance and everything. It's interesting when I grew up in the placement business. My father was in retail recruiting, and he worked with some of the top retail companies. And what he always used to do is, when I worked for him, he used to tell me to shop the store, so I really could understand the store. So obviously, the fact that you're getting out to your clients, just to follow up, one of the areas that you're heavily involved with is not only obviously in litigation and everything, but is the prevention of problems and working very closely with business owners and partners of businesses. And so I know that there was a case involving business partners and managers, and it has a lot of repercussions to avoiding issues that came up. And I was wondering if you could talk about that.
I like to practice the preventative law.
Right.
Yeah, we do. What I found is because I have been a trial lawyer as long as I have, and I usually see how things went wrong.
Right.
I think I can offer a good perspective to clients on how to avoid that and how to make sure that you're not calling me 6 years from now or 4 years from now when things aren't going the way you thought they would with your business partners. But in that case that you're talking about, which I think is the Wow Gym case,
right,
that was decided a few weeks ago by the appeals court in Massachusetts.
Right.
What it really did was give, I think, most lawyers a reminder that it is important when you form a corporation or a limited liability company or a partnership to anticipate those issues ahead of time. In that case, for example, the allegations were that one of the managers of the company had diverted corporate opportunities or business opportunities from the Wow Gyms into a different set of gyms that he started creating with another partner, and that the documents that governed the Wow Gyms were less than sufficient to protect those minority owners or other members and managers. Now, in that case, the court interpreted those agreements in a way that favored the minority or other members and managers, but it was an extremely expensive litigation that could have been avoided had the operating agreements for the LLCs been prepared and signed. Some of them weren't even signed by the members and managers. So that gave the sort of outlier manager or renegade manager the belief that he could do a lot of the things that he shouldn't be able to do. But what it really did, again, is remind everybody that at least in the settings of a closely held company, meaning a company that has a small number of shareholders that doesn't have a ready market for their shares, and that where the members actually operate and direct the company, that in those cases they're going to be treated more like partnerships, where the people involved owe each other a duty of utmost good faith and loyalty. It's something that all lawyers ought to advise clients when they start forming these companies, that it's almost like a marriage you're getting into now, and your best bet to avoid problems later is to do a good prenup agreement.
Right. Right.
And so those prenup agreements in the corporate setting generally have to do with, an operating agreement, a buy-sell agreement, a shareholder's agreement, the bylaws of the entity.
It's right. Funny. I'm in the midst of a potential nonprofit merger, and I had a discussion with someone on one side, and I said, "We need a prenup," and he said, "What?" And I said, "You're assuming it's all going to work. We have to make the assumption up front that it's not going to work, and how both sides can walk away without being hurt if that's the way it's going to work over the next few years." And he was like, "Wow, that's interesting." Especially with nonprofits, you don't want to hurt them.
Well, you're right, but I do think it's harder probably for the two partners or three or four partners who are getting into this business to bring that up as an issue, because they don't want to look like the person who is anticipating problems. But I do think if you hire a really good attorney who knows how to represent small companies and small businesses like that, that's part of that attorney's job, is to help them anticipate that everything isn't going to always be rosy. And it may not even be something major. I just had recently a case where two of the partners or members of an LLC wanted to incur more debt in order to grow. And the third person didn't. It was a very, very important issue.
Causes issues.
And it was majority rule the way they had the agreement.
Right.
I usually advise clients, if they're ahead of time, if you think there are very important sort of bet the company issues, I don't want to be bigger than X, I don't want to incur more than X million dollars in debt, make those issues supermajority issues in your operating agreement, or your bylaws, or your shareholders' agreements, so that you can't be outvoted by the partners. Everybody has to agree.
Right.
If you don't want to bring in new members, but somebody else does, make that something that you deal with in the agreements.
Right. It's a lot of common sense, but when you're an entrepreneur, you want to get the deal done, you want to move forward, so I think that's wonderful advice.
You want to get the deal done and you want to move forward, but you don't want to spend the money on
a
lawyer. You'd rather, some people actually pull off those, LLC documents on the internet and don't give it a lot of thought and just sign it without thinking it through.
Pay me now, pay me later.
You opened up a can of worms, but we don't have the time today. Maybe you'll have to come back and talk to us about those LLC documents.
Okay.
We just have to tell Chris, because he pegs all that stuff and he's our producer. So LLC documents. Ken, if somebody wants to find you and the firm, how would they do that?
Well, you can find us on the web at demorasmith.com. You can also call our Boston office here in One International Place, 617-535-7531. But I'm all over the internet. I'm very involved in social media, and not just in the terms of putting up videos of my rock and roll numbers, but I'm engaged on Twitter. I'm engaged on Facebook and other sites like that. So that
hopefully you'll also join the Radio Entrepreneurs site.
I'm definitely going to.
And you can send us stuff and post it too, because we've had over 800,000 people connect with us.
Well, and I can see why. It's a great organization and a great group. I've watched several of the videos in anticipation of today's meeting. So
excellent.
Get
very
a life.
Impressed.
No, just joking with you, of course. That's my job. I'm Jeffrey Davis. I'm host of the show here with Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Been great talking to Ken. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. And yes, a thank you to O'Brien and Levine for hosting us, Court Reporting Solutions. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.